Sports.com.
Welcome to America Tonight. Hey, everybody. Kate Delaney at the helm as we navigate some pretty choppy waters politically, to be sure. And with what's being dealt a heavy blow to some Texans, now it's their turn in the till, if you will, of Mother Nature, unfortunately wreaking havoc, fire everywhere in Central Texas. I'm telling you, it looks like what you would see on the news so often when you looked at video of California with the Santa Ana winds, and you'd say, wow, I hope it doesn't jump over the mountains. I hope it just doesn't jump over that highway there. Then it goes all the way up to Malibu, and, you know, Californians live with the earthquakes and the wildfires and the possibility of the mudslides, too. In Texas, because it's been so dry, there is, of course, the danger that was looming of any kind of a fire. But just how awful the fire could be, who knew that it was going to tear up Austin, Texas, which is the state capital of Texas. Who knew it was going to tear it up that badly? And it looks like it could be arson as the reason for hundreds of people losing their homes. How awful is that? People who literally had to flee, jump in cars, and evacuate because they were stubborn and wanted to hang on a little bit longer, hoping that they would be able to salvage their home or at least some part of their home, and they weren't able to do that. Especially from the air. When you're up high, you really get a good sense of it. And astronaut Mike Fossum talked about looking at those wildfires and what an awful, awful sight it truly, truly is. Take a listen.
We're coming just across the coast, see Houston quite clearly, and it is a sad sight with all the fires burning in Texas right now. See very major one and three smaller ones.
And the governor, Rick Perry, who hustled back to get back to Texas and is out on the campaign trail and then coming back and forth, but came back to see and to be there and get a sense of what was happening, talked about how out of control it really has gotten and how many people have lost those precious houses.
Over 1,000 homes, 100,000 acres plus, I think a little bit over 100,000.
That's what did he say, 100,000 and 1,000 homes. And this fire is not contained yet at this point. I mean, they're dumping everything, the fire retardant and the water and everything they can from the helicopters, and they're drawing those battle lines, if you will, with what the fire crews do. And there have been some other fire folks who have come in from other states. But, boy, it's rough to see all of that territory turned black, because that's what happens. And then those houses just turned to ash. Can you imagine? I know I say this, and I want to sound like a broken record doing the preaching thing to you right at the top of the show, but you're driving down the road, you're hauling to get back home right now listening to me, or you're laying in your bed at your house. Just make sure you got those papers in order. Put them on, you know, some little stick. You have it on a disc, whatever, but do something to make sure that you have everything you need in case you should fall prey to something like they're dealing with. Because most of those people, even though they know and they knew that it certainly could go up, they weren't expecting it to happen. And then, boom, you're in the middle of a crisis all of a sudden and you have to deal with it. Quickly, a note on Perry. You have Obama dropping to his worst numbers ever in some new polls. All kinds of polls, too, by the way, politically speaking. Liberal-leaning institutions, let's say, and conservative-leaning institutions have Obama across the board dropping. So you can't say, well, sometimes people will say, well, that poll is inaccurate because take a look at this other poll and the numbers are completely different. I don't think so. They're pretty ugly. So the NBC Wall Street Journal poll that was released on Tuesday showed that Obama's approval rating has a new low of just 44%. 37% approve of his handling of the economy. That's a 6-point drop since July in that poll. And it's obviously very, very low. According to the poll, 82% disapprove of the job Congress is doing. That's the highest number, check this out, ever recorded in the poll. Ever recorded. Do you think that these people in Congress just don't get it? They're complaining about their salaries. They make the average makes $174,000 plus glorious benefits, right? And a pension and everything. They're complaining that they don't have enough money. They're not making enough money. They need a raise. They can't pay the mortgages. I'm thinking, boy, are they really looking around at what other people are doing? So 47% of the people polled said they'd like to give a new person a chance in the upcoming election compared to 42% who want to stick with their current representative. I think it's going to be another house cleaning for sure for anyone who's up. Now, quickly on the Republican side, since we just mentioned the governor of Texas, Rick Perry, he is pulling away in most of the polls. He entered the race last month officially. He leads Romney 38% to 23% in the Republican race. No other nominee, by the way, actually goes beyond the single-digit category. Ron Paul, 9%. Michelle Bachmann, 8%. Then you go down from there. Newt Gingrich and Herm Cain, 5%. So Perry seems to be the guy in the Republican field, but I wonder if that will change when people dig into his background a little bit more. I've had a lot of you call and ask me about Perry as the governor of Texas, and the one area where he's weak, and I think he's going to have to dance around the issue, is immigration. And I said this immediately. The one thing that he did that infuriated some people was the in-state tuition that was given to illegals. So, of course, if they met the certain criteria, but the thousands and thousands got the in-state tuition where everybody else in-state didn't get those breaks. So he didn't make any friends with that. And also, you know, the whole idea of the wall and building the wall and all that stuff, he was soft on that. He was against that. But I think there is some confusion, and he'll have to clear that up as to, you know, you can't be a little of this and a little bit of that. You either are for some kind of amnesty or pathway to citizenship, or you're not. I mean, you're just not. You either say the people are in line and that's how it goes and that's how we need to roll and we need to secure the borders or whatever. And I think Perry realizes there's problems at the border, and he's talked about that, but he's also talked about why the feds haven't been around to handle any of this in the first place. Because remember, there was laws on the books, and there have been laws for decades. So maybe that changes. In the meantime, Mitt Romney isn't worried about it. He just forges ahead with his 59-point plan for jobs if he were to be elected as president. We're going to talk about that next when we come back. That's part of We Can Count, so hang with us. Heard of a pharmacist who discourages the use of most prescription drugs? Well, pharmacist Ben Fuchs is that person, and boy, is he fascinating. He's a nutritional pharmacist and skincare specialist who operates out of Boulder, Colorado, and to hear this man speak is nothing less than inspiring because he's charismatic and makes a lot of sense. He asks, why take dangerous drugs when all your body needs to stay healthy is all natural with no side effects? Pharmacist Ben sees the human body as a healing and regenerating system divinely designed to heal and renew itself on a moment-to-moment basis, but it needs nutrition and nutritional supplementation. Ben says you've got to be on a nutritional supplement program if you want to be healthy in 21st century America, and he wants to help people get off the toxic drug treadmill and get on a good nutritional supplement program. I support what pharmacist Ben is saying and doing to help America get healthier, and I urge you to watch and listen to Ben deliver his powerful message at your convenience. Just go to AmericaTonightTeam.com. That's AmericaTonightTeam.com.
Alan Olson with Midas Resources, senior gold and silver broker since 1978. Over the last 3,000 years, gold has been a storehouse of wealth and has survived nearly 500 paper fiat currencies. Since the 1970s, the fiat U.S. paper dollar has lost over 90% of its purchasing power and is decreasing every day. With the U.S. government that is bent on reckless spending, gold and silver are your only safe havens of protection for your hard-earned paper dollars. Please contact me, Alan Olson, at 1-800-686-2237, extension 127, with your questions or purchases. Let's work together to preserve your assets. 1-800-686-2237, extension 127. Again, 1-800-686-2237, extension 127.
For centuries, silver has been used as a powerful natural antibiotic, and as a listener to this station, you probably already know the benefits of using colloidal silver. With so many websites to choose from, finding a reputable, patriotic company with great products at affordable prices can be a difficult task. Introducing UtopiaSilver.com. UtopiaSilver.com carries the best, most effective, and most affordable colloidal silver and colloidal gold products in the industry. UtopiaSilver.com also carries products to fit your lifestyle, including weight loss, immune system defense, cleanses, herbs, joint and bone care, and much more. First-time customers using promo code GCN50 will receive 50% off all colloidal products. Visit us today at Utopia Silver, that's U-T-O-P-I-A Silver, utopiasilver.com, or call 888-213-4338. That's 888-213-4338. UtopiaSilver.com, taking back America's healthcare one American at a time.
Yes, and topping this version of We Can Count, what do you think about this, America? If it was your decision to make, would you pull out the 3,000 U.S. forces that are in Iraq? Would you keep that troop level there? There are 40,000, in fact, U.S. troops in Iraq. Now, the current agreement is for all troops to withdraw by the year's end, but the U.S. expects the Iraqis to request some of the troops to remain to help in training and security, that they would have some kind of a presence. They've been discussing that. Our diplomats have been discussing how many precisely, all that sort of stuff. So, initially, 3,000 was floated. Maybe. And would the Defense Secretary, Leon Panetta, actually sign off on it? And Panetta, through a spokesperson, denies that any decision, any number, has been thrown around, 3,000, any such number. So only saying that the U.S. presence in 2012 will depend on what they're calling the will of the Iraqis. So what does the will mean? Does it mean they need more training and security or they don't? Of course they're going to lean on the crutch. I can't imagine they're going to say, no, just vamos, bye. Let's go. You're out of here. I don't think so. Dianne Feinstein said that it was too fast. She said, I think it's too fast, that there are serious things going on there that need to be stopped. And she, of course, is the Senate Intelligence Committee chair. And she thinks it's a mistake to reduce the troop level to 3,000, because that, again, is the number that was floated around. Not so much withdrawing 3,000, but leaving 3,000. And in the meantime, John McCain and Lindsey Graham, the two senators who have been to the Middle East maybe the most, they supported the initial surge of troops that turned the momentum around there. They think that the figure is too low, that it's dramatically low, and you have to have bigger numbers than that. So what's the Pentagon going to do ultimately? What's going to happen here? What do you think should happen here, America? Pull out or not? What do you think? I think the numbers, I think we're going to hear all kinds of bogus numbers. And the idea was to train and have them ready to go. But then the question becomes, the Shiites, the Sunnis, the Kurds, all that kind of stuff. I mean, is it not going to be a fertile ground for terrorism? It'd be great if it's not. But we have to get out and let them solve the problems. They have to be able to stand on their own 2 feet as a government and solve the problems. They have huge oil supplies. Huge. And let's hope that we get some of the reparations for that. How about some payback? That'd be nice to hear about that instead, wouldn't it? The U.S. makes back all the money spent helping Iraq and others in the Middle East. All right, here's another one. Presidential hopeful Mitt Romney unveiled a 59-point economic plan. He did it in a speech in Nevada. Perfect place for that because there are really high numbers of unemployment there. The main things is that he was very specific about it. He promised to cut corporate taxes, reduce federal regulations, and be tough with China. Because, you know, we always pussyfoot around China. As you know, they're dangling our debt, the money we owe them, in front of our faces. So, it was a 160-page economic program. He said it would grow the U.S. economy at 4% a year, if you haven't heard this, each of his 4 years in office, and add 11.5 million new jobs. He went for the jugular. He decided to be specific, and it was very... it was full of substance instead of fluff. How much of a chance, though, does Romney have? Let's say today, if it were Romney and Obama, does Romney beat Obama? Romney's saying that he would submit 5 bills on the economy on his first day in office, including an act implementing free trade agreements with Colombia, Panama, and South Korea. He says he would also include countervailing duties on Chinese imports if China doesn't do something quickly to float its currency. He says he'd clamp down on cheaters. And this is what he said. This is a quote. You got to hear this quote. I'll clamp down on the cheaters, and China is the worst example of that. They have manipulated their currency to make their products artificially inexpensive. I will label China as it is, a currency manipulator, and I will go after them for stealing our intellectual property. Now, Romney was the guy who was the lead horse in the race to challenge Obama for re-election next year, right? But now he's fallen behind a guy named Rick Perry, the governor of Texas. So he knows that his strength is the whole business side, and that's what he's pushing here. This is what I would do. Here's the economy. Here's what needs to be done, and here's the specifics of it. And I wonder, though, how that plays to the everyday American. Does that reverberate? Does that hit the mark? Certainly, all the polls that were out, whether it was NBC Wall Street Journal poll that showed, as we talked about, Obama's approval rating at a low of 44%, or the ABC News Washington Post poll that showed 6 in 10 Americans rated Obama's performance on the economy and jobs negatively, it doesn't matter what paper, what broadcast entity, the numbers were low, low, low for the president, and it's all about the economy. Now, the president will talk about jobs on Thursday, and supposedly he's going to propose pumping $300 billion into the, I can't say stimulus because Nancy Pelosi doesn't want the word stimulus used anymore, into basically the economy. So add the money back in, more heaped on the deficit. In other words, $300 billion. Will this create the jobs? Will this get the economy jump started again? will more people hire? I mean, there's nothing but questions, questions, questions. And that number is a leaked number. So is it actually the number that he's talking about? You know, we'll see when he delivers the actual speech on Thursday. And how about this as far as numbers are concerned? California is getting pretty close to a shark fin ban. Have you heard about this? It's worth mentioning this. You know how I feel about sharks. We just told you about the sad story about the guy on the board in Australia who had his legs chopped off and they found his body and pulled it into shore the other day. Well, but destroying sharks when they're in their own element, I mean, give me a break. But here's the thing. It's a delicacy in some parts of the world. Shark fin soup. I mean, there's people that in this country that can get shark fin soup. So it's a Chinese delicacy. And the state of California passed a bill banning the sale of shark fins. Their Senate voted 25-9 to ban it, sale or trade, the key ingredient in shark fin soup. So now, you know, Governor Brown is going to sign that. What happens is they do a thing called finning. I learned about this when I was in Hawaii. And they take the shark's fins are cut off and the rest of its body is tossed into the ocean. It kind of seems cruel, huh? Of course it seems cruel. And California, though, has a huge Chinese-American population. And California is one of the largest importers of shark fins outside of Asia. 1.1 million Chinese-Americans. And they say that this bill is an important step to protecting what's becoming a rare species. And that soup is not a cheap soup to order. Depending on what you get and where you get it, easily a bowl, $300 of shark fin soup. Oh, I'll tell you, and looking at the fin cut off, oh, I just don't get it. I don't know, maybe you get it more than I do. Of all the things I've ever eaten in my life, I never had a desire to do that in the first place. So, restaurants are going to have to give it up. That's what's going to happen. Or pay the price, and it'll be a hefty, hefty fine if they're found going around the system. Coming up on the flip side, we're going to go to the mailbag. If you want to throw in your 2 cents, feel free, 800-259-5791.
How would you like to have normal blood pressure?
This is Ernesto from Illinois. I had my doctor's appointment yesterday, and I got my labs in. My HDL is 119L, and my LDL is 37L. My doctor asked what I was doing to lower it so much, so I told her about HB Extract.
Millions of people, like Ernesto, are suffering from high blood pressure, congestive heart failure, unbalanced cholesterol, irregular heartbeat, and clogged arteries. But now there's an effective, natural, 100% organic nutritional supplement for a healthy heart and circulation. Heart and Body Extract.
My blood pressure has not gone past 125 over 80 in almost a month.
Experience amazing benefits when your body gets what it needs with the assistance of Heart and Body Extract.
She did a double take when she looked at my ER labs. She couldn't believe it.
Order at hbextract.com or call 866-295-5305. That's hbextract.com or call 866-295-5305.
Thank you. Heart and Body Extract.
America's number one source for independent talk radio for over a decade. We are the GCN Radio Network.
From the shattered Rust Belt come the Lost Vegas.
A brother won't with me. No woman be here. I just came to watch my LED.
Life Before the Collapse. Vinyl LP by the Lost Vegas. Life Before the Collapse by the Lost Vegas on 180 gram vinyl and mastered especially for vinyl by legendary audio engineer Steve Hall.
This guy,
white on woman to this guy.
Life Before the Collapse by the Las Vegas.
The Las Vegas.
Now available at Amazon.com.
If you owe the IRS money you can't pay, then listen carefully, because you already know that the problem won't go away by itself. You can get help today from the leading tax expert in the country, Dan Pilla.
Hi, I'm Dan Pilla. The IRS isn't going to just forget about you. Right now, the IRS is hiring thousands of tax collectors to go after delinquent accounts just like yours. That's why you need to take action today, and I can help. I take a simple but proven approach to solving your tax debt problem. First, I stabilize collections so you don't have to worry about wage and bank levies. Next, I build a detailed plan to get your debt reduced to the fullest extent possible, sometimes even eliminated. Finally, I work with you every step of the way to get your problem solved once and for all. So call now for a free consultation. Call 1-800-346-6829.
Dan Pilla will solve your tax problem, guaranteed. He's helped thousands of people, and he can help you too. Call us today at 800-346-6829. That's 800-34-NO-TAX.
The food storage industry leader has done it again.
Introducing FDG Clubs and Survival Bucks from the Freeze Dry Guy. For over 39 years, the Freeze Dry Guy has served various government agencies and the private sector with the finest in storable foods and emergency rations. If you've wanted to build emergency food supplies but couldn't afford it, now you can. Go to freezedryguy.com, click on products, and look for the Freeze Dry Guy Clubs to pay as you go.
Now you can build food storage without going into debt.
Choose from a payment range of $95 to $450 per month.
Our clubs work with everyone's budget.
Plus, when you join Freeze Dry Guy Clubs, you'll get additional rewards. For example, this month, get 10% back in survival bucks on all purchases in the Freeze Dry Guy product line, plus free shipping within the lower 48 states on any order amount. Hurry, go to freezedryguy.com or call 866-404-3663. That's freezedryguy.com or call 866-404-3663. The Freeze Dry Guy, the best you can buy.
Tonight with me, Kate Delaney. Of course, I always invite everyone to send their thoughts to us when you don't feel like letting your fingers do the dialing and chiming in on the air. And we always get a lot of emails regardless, whether a lot of people have hit the phone lines or not. So no exception for this show. Without further ado, we're going to pull back the curtain and head to the mailbag.
You have mail, mistress.
Can I hear that one more time?
You have mail, mistress.
Thank you. Thank goodness, because we're not connected to the United States Postal Service. Otherwise, perhaps our little man would go on strike, and who knows if they would deliver the mail. Frightening to think of that, isn't it? I don't know why. I am all about technology, and I get half of everything, more than half of everything I do, through computers. But I'm sorry. I like the old-fashioned mail deal. I like getting some stuff in the mail. Not bills, of course, but everything else I like getting in the mail. And I actually still get some magazines that I want to get magazines. I don't want to get the Nook. I have the Nook or the Kindle. How many of you are sporting the Nook and the Kindle or whatever? And, of course, the iPhones and everything else. That's fine, but I still like the idea of the mail. Bottom line is, there's not going to be any weekend delivery. We know that. Forget it. That's probably dying off before the end of the year. It's a question of even if we're going to even have mail service or not, and then the government has to bail them out to pay for the big nugget they have to pay for the health care for the retirees. And, hey, they paid in, so now they're stuck in this rock in the hard place. And part of it is because of how the United States Postal Service was behind the curve of technology? And also, could they really have caught up? I don't know. So was it mismanaged or no? It's a sign of the times, of where we're headed, that it's all technology, baby. I mean, even textbooks are going away. They're telling kids, for the most part, my nephew's a prime example, third grade on, just a computer, just an iPad. Your son needs an iPad, that's it, because we're not going to have any books. The books are going to be downloaded, and they're going to have the iPad and another computer to work with, and that's it. So, you know, here you go, your 10-year-olds, 9-year-olds, 8-year-olds, you know, all of them. They probably won't remember what it's like to get a letter that doesn't come to them through the computer. I don't know. You might feel differently. All right, I'm off of that category. And they're begging. They have their tin cup out, and that's why I brought it up, because that's what happened on the Hill. The Senate had a special meeting, and the members of the committee listened to the woes of the United States Postal Service and the fact that really, no joke, no kidding, you will not have mail delivered to your house if something isn't done in October, because really it's all over at the end of September. At the end of September, we're talking a $5 billion payment that had $5.5 billion payment that has to be paid into that account, into its retirees' health care trust fund at the end of September. So if not, good luck, and they have just enough, barely, to pay the people that are working for them. So definitely people would lose their jobs, even if they find a way to hang on. I'm curious how many people are, you know, this bothers. How many people does this bother or not? You know what? Here's what the thing is. This is what it is. And then I promise I'm going to leave this alone and go to the mailbag. There is something about change, and I'm all about change. I mean, I have lived all over this great country. I have thrown golf clubs and a suitcase in the back of my car when I was 21 years old, whatever. I can do it. I can roll with it. And a lot of you can relate to that. You've lived in different places. You've rolled with whatever punches life delivered you, and you did what you had to do. But there's certain things that you want the security of, right? You want some things not to change. Like, I don't want an espresso machine. I just want a coffee. I want a cup of coffee. That's what I want. I want to walk to the mailbox and get my mail. I don't want to get everything through email, because somebody's probably going to try to hack into it anyway, which happened to me, as many of you know. So the Postal Service is considering scaling back. They have to. They're going to have to do it. It's email, text, instant message. That's how people talk now. This Postal Service goes all the way back to 1775. You know who the first postmaster was, Postmaster General? Of course, Ben Franklin. All right, let's move on, I promise. This one comes to us from Denise. And Denise says, Kate, where in the world is Muammar Gaddafi? You've been talking about a bunch, but I haven't heard you mention it in the last two shows. Where is Gaddafi? I thought Obama said they got him like a month ago. Well, seems as though he is an elusive cat, or for some reason they're surrounding the compound, and then he's not in the compound, and then he's in the catacombs underneath the city, and then they're getting close, and he's got people that are protecting him. I don't get it. And there's a $2 million bounty on his head. And $2 million for some of these rebels, I would think, you know, there's some incentive there. There's incentive to knock them off, to get them to whatever. I don't think there's no incentive. But what is taking so long? I agree. What is the stronghold here? It's crazy. It's turning into a bin Laden scenario. So he shoots up his people in the streets like dogs, and they're used as shields for people who say, well, what, we were all about Gaddafi a while ago. Well, not when he turns into a mad, crazed man. And let's face it, we could argue about why did we get involved in Libya, and I would say we shouldn't have been there in the first place. This was pressure from the UN, but, you know, then we're in it, wink, wink, because, yeah, we're just a little part of NATO, and we just spend a little bit over $1 billion to be part of the airstrikes. I mean, now, come on. We are tied to this. We are in this. And Denise has a valid question. What is going on here? How elusive is this guy? Why can't they get their hands on Gaddafi? You know, that's a good question. And apparently he must have that good of security around him, or must be hiding in the best hiding place known to man. come out wherever you are. Let's move on to this one. This comes to us from Chuck. Chuck says, Kate, what's going on with Mr. Edwards, that cad? I think I saw a clip of him on the news, and I figured I would send you a note because you know things like this. What is going on with him? I thought they threw him in jail for all of his nonsense for paying his mistress with campaign money. No, they didn't throw him in jail for that. What happened was, maybe the clip you saw was probably old footage of him. Lawyers for John Edwards said that they filed motions to dismiss the charges against him. He's accused of conspiracy, issuing false statements, violating campaign contribution laws, that kind of garden variety stuff, you know. So, according to the motions, the charging documents were unconstitutionally vague. See, he's got money, so he's going to, and he was an attorney, he's going to have good representation. And a prosecutor acted on political motives, is what they're saying, to indict Edwards in the first place. The motions also say that there have been irregularities in the grand jury process, and they challenged all kinds of things. So what does it mean? It means that there has to be a decision that will be made. Justice Department prosecutors, just so you know this whole story, if you remember, brought charges against Edwards based on allegations that the bucks that were given to him to support his campaign and as in his run for presidency went instead to support his mistress. So he's right on that, Ryle Hunter, and they should have been considered as donations toward the campaign. So Edward says it was just a money gift. Yeah, whatever, a gift. If he were convicted on all the counts I just mentioned and they didn't go away, he would face maybe 30 years in prison, definitely a fine of $1.5 million. He would do some jail time. Absolutely, he would do some jail time. But I think he might wiggle out of it. I think there is a chance. I'm not buying what he's selling. Now you can't buy his charms when he looks into the camera, and because like everyone else, I mean, is he any different from some of the others? No. But he comes back after the fact. Well, yeah, the baby's mine. Oh, well, yeah, you know. But, of course, he hasn't admitted to anything with the money, just constantly saying over and over again it was a gift and it wasn't a misuse of campaign funds. It wasn't, right? All right, let's move on to this one. This comes to us from Jake in Austin, who is a frequent listener of this show, an emailer of America Tonight as well. I mean, almost every day, I think, since I've been on the air, he has sent me an email. Interesting. And Jake says, Kate, did you hear that thing today from Mayor Bloomberg where he said that it should no longer be called Ground Zero anymore because, of course, there's the big unveiling in New York? I think I heard you briefly mention that you were going there. And so I wondered now what it's going to be called. Well, I think the focus is going to be on the recovery and the memorial. So it's going to be about the memorial gardens, the 400 trees and the two fountains with all the names around the fountains. And then, of course, the other buildings. It's 16 acres. I agree. If they're redoing it, you don't have to call it Ground Zero anymore because it's not. Hang with us.
Attention gardeners, this is an urgent GCN self-reliance update. GCN has just discovered a new bioactive superfood for garden plants, flowers, and herbs. It's called ProtoGrow, and it's so effective at producing rapid plant growth that it seems to almost force plants to grow like crazy under practically any soil and light conditions. Now, here's the best part for our listeners who garden for self-reliance. ProtoGrow's unique blend of sea nutrients maximizes mineral uptake and dramatically increases bloom set, creating maximum plant growth in minimum time. ProtoGrow works by providing geometric keys which have the capacity to actually unlock the genetic code for nutritional uptake in plants. Protogrow's full-spectrum plant fertility means fruits and vegetables with extraordinary taste and up to 10 times the nutritional value. And if you want to double or triple the potency of herbs or wheatgrass, you can. If you want to grow nutritionalized superfoods with non-hybrids, it's now easy. GCN listeners who want to grow dirt cheap superfoods should visit the Protogrow website at growlikecrazy.com. That's www.growlikecrazy.com or call 877-327-0365. That's 877-327-0365.
Are you tired of spending money for metal canning lids year after year? Then stop! Stop buying metal lids and get Tatler reusable canning lids. Made of USDA and FDA approved food grade plastic, Tatler canning lids let you safely store emergency preparedness foods for years. Traditional metal lids are single use throwaways that contain BPA, but Tatler canning lids are indefinitely reusable and guaranteed to last a lifetime when used as designed for home canning and contain no BPA. Tatler lids are dishwasher safe, perfect for standard pressure or water bath canning, eliminate food spoilage from acid corrosion, fit standard mason jars, and are proudly made in the USA. Place orders by phone at 877-747-2793 or go to reusablecanninglids.com. That's 1-877-747-2793 or go to reusablecanninglids.com. That's reusablecanninglids.com. Tatler Reusable Canning Lids, the original since 1976.
Hello, friends. Alex Jones here. You all know I've worked for years with Steve Shank and eFoods Direct. I have eFoods for my own emergency food supply. You know, Steve, life is different now for all of us, isn't it?
Very different. People are using this great food to survive the present hurricane season, and we've already had $40 billion worth of damage from floods, storms, quakes, and droughts. And that's just the first 8 months of this year. Natural disasters are newsworthy, but only touch a few of us Americans. The huge issue of the Greatest Depression is on everyone's mind. The unemployment, the loss of homes, lost businesses, and skyrocketing food costs are hitting every American. So everyone needs food security.
Folks, this month you will get free shipping on every food order from eFoods Direct. That's right. Every order gets free shipping starting September 6th. Get stocked up with the best storable foods out there with eFoods Direct and be prepared for any emergency before it happens. To take advantage of this special, call 800-409-5633 or go to eFoodsDirect.com/Alex.
Remind you of the fact that we have nailed the score on Wednesday. Usually it's going to be on Thursday. It's going to be in our third hour, but we're going to move it to Wednesday since we have that Thursday game and it's the first week. So New Orleans and Green Bay. It's in Green Bay. That's the first one, like I just said, 8:30 kick. And then you have a slew of games on Sunday, September 11th, which, of course, is the 10th anniversary of September 11th and everything that happened. We were just mentioning that because of an email that Mayor Bloomberg didn't want to call it Ground Zero anymore, and it should be renamed and they call it the Memorial Gardens and all that other sort of stuff, which I'm sure a lot of people will get used to that and they'll start referring to it. Absolutely, there'll be signs and whatnot around it because the things that they've designed are just mind-boggling what they did with that space. I mean, just a must-see for anyone who goes to New York and to, I think, not breathe in what happened, but sort of move forward. It's incredible the things that, as far as the designs that I've seen. On the Discovery Channel, they did a great series about rebuilding Ground Zero, Rising from the Ashes, I think they called it. And it was so well done and documented all along the way as to things that they were putting there, including the 400 trees that I mentioned and the fountains and this incredible building and where the subways come in, the overhang there is stunning. It's stunning the way it'll look. It'll just be all redone. And I think that the people who lost their lives, their families, now have a place to go because all their names are around the fountains and they're specifically laid out according to friendships and buildings and where they were and all that kind of stuff, which for some of them, they never got anything back of the people that they lost. And it includes everybody. It includes people who died in the Pentagon, their names on that memorial, the people in Shanksville, Pennsylvania, where the plane went down, and also, of course, the World Trade Center, the two buildings. So every person who was killed on that day. But this is about football, and it's a new season, and finally we have it. And as I was mentioning, September 11th, a slew of games, including one in New York, Dallas, at the New York Jets. And that fact, of course, of the 10th anniversary wasn't lost on Roger Goodell, who was living in New York City. And he talked about the courage of the people who were down there at the time and what the NFL feels its responsibility is on this anniversary.
We can help the country heal in some fashion. We hope to be able to play that role this weekend by properly honoring those that lost their lives or their family members and all of the first responders and the courage that they demonstrated.
Yeah, they certainly did that. I mentioned that we have Green Bay playing host to the Saints, and that's the first one. So Mike McCarthy talked about the spotlight being on the team in green, and of course it should be on them because they won the Super Bowl last year.
The spotlight is brighter on the past champion, and we understand that, and we'll keep an eye on it.
Keep an eye on it. Let's see if they can repeat. What are the odds of Green Bay repeating? I'm going to say I don't think they're that good. I mean, they still have some good players on that team, and everybody thinks, oh, now Aaron Rodgers, he's coming into his own. But it's going to be an interesting year in the NFL because of the fact that, you know, you have the turmoil, and then you have these rookies who are being indoctrinated that in some cases could have immediately stepped into a role and may still step into a role. But how much will they be affected by, they still had training camps, but how much will they be affected by the lack of the mini camps and that kind of stuff and working out on their own, even though some of the players all got together? I don't know. Maybe not. I don't know until we see it all roll out in front of us. Injuries would be the key thing that I would worry about. How good a shape were some of the players that came in? So the first week features things like Indianapolis at Houston, because Peyton Manning might not play that one. It's not looking really good there. You have Minnesota at San Diego. San Diego could be much improved this year. What's going to happen with Minnesota this year? They get a cast-off quarterback who was my quarterback for the Philadelphia Eagles, Donovan McNabb, who I think still has some firepower and could prove to have a pretty good year for the Vikings. Philadelphia is at St. Louis. We'll see what happens with Philly because there's a high expectations, $100 million to Michael Vick to be the quarterback for that team. So an interesting year, I think, shaping up in the NFL. By the way, on Thursday, the Buddha Man will join us once again, Buddha, to talk about the NFL and some of the games. And I know a lot of you are fantasy football players, and we'll talk about some of the expectations certainly there. But week one is rapidly coming upon us. Are you excited, Matt, for the beginning of the season? Because you're a football fan.
Definitely, and we got it started last weekend with college football knocking down the door, and now it's time for the pros to kick it off this weekend. So I'm pretty excited about it. Tomorrow night, I guess that is tomorrow night, technically, isn't it?
Yeah,
Thursday night.
It is technically.
We got
yeah.
The Saints and the Packers, so it should be a fun night. And then on Sunday, you got the full slate going on.
Yeah. How about that? I mean, already now it didn't look like it was going to come back. It comes back, and we'll see, I guess. We'll see. There you go. The NFL with some fines. We're throwing this in here. The NFL, or Goodell anyway, is in some cases has been known to have no shyness about fining players for things that they do, like DUIs. And, of course, this was a huge story. The wide receiver for the 49ers, one of them anyway, Braylon Edwards, was fined $50,000 for violating the policy, the substance abuse policy, and he was driving under the influence I guess it was last September, while he was with the Jets, he pleaded guilty in July, so he's not going to face a league suspension, they say. But he's got to pay the money. You know, these guys do these tweets, and I think, who tells them what to tweet? So in his tweet, he said, he went out to the Twitter land, and he said, the good news is out, 49er faithfuls, no suspension. I did get fined, but I am in agreement and happy to move on. Ooh, I bet he's happy to move on, because it wasn't looking good for a while there. You just don't know which way that's going to go. I mean, you know, that could go either way. And we're talking about he was in his car in Manhattan, and that's when he was charged in September of 2010. His blood alcohol level was twice the legal limit. Twice the legal limit. So it worked out. Like he said, he was smart not to take a kind of a swing at them anyway. Couple other quick sports notes here since we're in the middle of the land of sports. Besides the NFL, you have, I've mentioned this already, a lot of you in Connecticut have written me notes about this. You have the U.S. Open, our Open in the world of tennis going on in Queens. Because it was a rainy day, for the first time since I can't remember, it's had to be at least 5 years or even more, the day and the night schedule, the sessions, were toast because of the rain. So they just couldn't get it in. The courts are too wet, so it's dangerous. You know, they slip on the courts and forget about it. Somebody could break a leg, or maybe even worse. So that was stopped for the day, and then they'll pick it up again and then head into the weekend. Because also, they're getting into a big weekend in New York with all the things that are happening at Ground Zero. And there's still a couple of Americans left in this, namely Serena Williams. She's one that's holding down the fort, if you will, because her sister had to withdraw from the tournament. I think I mentioned this was that strange autoimmune disease that she's battling. So Serena Williams carrying the banner for the red, white, and blue. We'll see if she can pull it out. She has a good chance. She's playing lights out. And even if you hate sports and could care less about sports, I know you have some American pride, and it's always a good thing when an American wins the U.S. Open. I'm just saying.
Worse? How can they get any worse? Take a look around you, Alan. We're at the threshold of hell.
We're the best. I've been telling you the best. The amazing upper body strength of the Russians. So amazing. They're nothing. Just a minute.
Oh,
they're
sorry.
Nothing.
Turn it in, Calgary.
O-T-H-I-N. Nothing.
Finished.